are back to Lifelines, the show where we usually talk about living on board and living in Avalon. I will sneak those topics in all around the other things that have been going on this week. And now for my two cents. I like these Cliff Bar things. It's kind of a substandard meal, but it floats me along if I am too lazy or busy to eat something more sensible. The packaging this week has big red letters that say, "Feel Gravity." Whose dumb idea is that? I am in a fight against gravity all the time. It drags me down, pulling me back to the earth from whence I came. Our little brief moth lives are about launching into the air and the light, not focusing on the pull of the center of the planet. It's some kind of promotional thing, and the small print says, "Adventure safely, all risk and liability is yours." Somebody deserves a dope slap for that campaign. Go do something cuckoo and give us all rights to talk about it, but if death or dismemberment occurs, it's all you, bud. Nice. Speaking of thrill seekers, there are monster waves this week in Southern California, and surfers and paddleboarders are out trying to catch one for a ride. Clearly, I am not a thrill seeker because I am content to watch the doofuses out there getting knocked down. When nature is flexing her muscles, I prefer to be respectfully removed from the situation. Which doesn't prevent me from driving up to Northern California during the week when there is a 54% chance of a second major earthquake, according to seismologists. It's either that or I put up with the hordes of partiers hitting the marina for the Labor Day weekend. And I prefer the earthquake threat to that. The wind had also kicked up, and every halyard in the place was banging away on the masts. It was a relief to get into the quiet car and start the long drive away from one marina and towards another. But first, I had a little visit to make to register my out-of-state Colorado vehicle. Kids growing up in Avalon have a bizarre notion of traffic. It must be hard to make the transition from golf cart to car, especially when the only place to practice driving a car is up and down and up and down the canyon road.
Now serving A-1-7-2 at window number 10. Now serving A-0-0-9 at window number 14.
The DMV has changed a bit since I was 16 and applying for my first driver's license. And I think it has improved. First, it is definitely worth it to go online and make an appointment ahead of time. You can avoid much of the frustration and waiting around by simply scheduling your visit. I did, and it still took me an hour to get in and out of there.
Now serving A-0-0-9 at window number 14.
The appointment allowed me to stand in a line that was 4 people deep instead of 50. I had all of my paperwork filled out, got my number, and waited for my turn. Pretty efficient.
Now serving A-0-0-9 at window number 14.
In my case, I had to have the out-of-state vehicle confirmed that it was the one on the title. As I sat on a tolerably comfortable plastic chair, I looked around at the people in the room. There were some sniffling teenagers who had not passed their written or driving test. People from 6 or 7 different countries were represented. People in fancy dress, where were they coming from? And people in grubby work clothes. And all of us were trusting the others to zip around on the road in a big steel vehicle with thousands of others and not cause mayhem. It was democracy in action, right there at the DMV.
Now
That's me. I have not been to Berkeley since I went out the gate and turned left in October 2012. I have done a few burgee swaps with other yacht clubs along the way. Burgees are those triangle pennants that yacht clubs use to identify their member vessels. But otherwise, I have been an inactive member of the BYC. It was good to sit in the familiar room with the three bridge view and watch the sun come up. Wherever I went, I was welcomed and asked when I would be coming home. I even got to play hostess at the BYC to a newly launched cruiser from Seattle, and he allowed me to interview him. This is Seashell for KISL Avalon 88.7 FM, and we are in the Berkeley Yacht Club in Berkeley, California, and I am interviewing an intrepid cruiser from Seattle. And your name, sir?
Roy Nyman.
And Roy is going to tell us a little bit about where he came from and why he decided to be a cruiser and where he's going. And in the background, Austin is going to be barking from the deck, I'm sure.
So, welcome, Austin. Yeah, I'm part of the Coho Hoho Sailing Rally. That's in its second year. A guy named Doug Lombard and his cohorts up there. There's a website and stuff. I think cohohoho.com or something like that. And so we're sailing down from Seattle to San Diego. The big jump, of course, was Seattle to San Francisco. For me, it was a total of about 6.5 days at sea in two chunks with a stop in Bandon, Oregon, to take care of some problems there and kind of rest up a little bit.
So what happened in Bandon?
We had a pretty intense run out of Nia Bay, coming out of the Straits of Juan de Fuca. And I just had some kind of charging system problem, and although the boat was doing fine and the crew was doing fine and we would like to have gone on, even though the weather was kind of rough, we decided it would be smart to go in and fix our electrical problem. And there were another couple of boats from the Coho Hoho in there already, so we had friends we could work with and hang out.
What made you do the Coho Hoho?
Oh, well, I retired on April Fool's Day, my 59-and-a-half birthday, in 2013, with the plans to go cruising. Although I've been sailing since I was 17 years old, I'd never really done extensive offshore stuff. So to me, it just made sense to be doing it first time with people who are also doing it. And, you know, you get to share.
Ready-made your, Betty Boaters.
Yeah, the Coho Hoho, I'm not sure so much on the Baja Ha Ha. We like to just say the ho and the ha, and we're the hoes. The Coho Hoho spends some time setting up seminars and stuff like that. So you get to get a lot of technical insight and sharing ideas. It's a good center for sharing ideas and meeting people.
And what did you retire from?
I don't know. Do I get to still say that I am a naval architect?
Of course. Do you ever stop being a naval architect?
Well, I wonder. I think it's kind of in my blood, you know. I come from a Navy family, Navy captains back about three generations and about four families wide, including uncles and all that stuff. So I was the youngest of three sons and didn't become a Navy captain, so I became a naval architect instead. And so, like I say, maybe it's in the blood.
So if you had to reconstruct your boat at some point along the way, you'd be well suited for the task.
Well, I suppose so. It's, you know, boats are always kind of tinkering anyway.
Yes.
And I'm a pretty good tinkerer.
You're more of a naval architect than a boat, right?
I started out as a graphic design kind of thing, and then I was good at math, so the two combined well for naval architecture. But I think I'm more of an artist and craftsman than I am an engineer. I'm trained to be an engineer, but naturally speaking, I'm more of an artist.
So the clunking over there is Tom.
Doing it on purpose.
Who's moving bar stools.
Bar with the stools.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. I didn't recognize you with your hair down. Are you going to walk this morning?
I got involved in doing interviews. Say good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
And where's Rufus?
He's in the front.
We'll bring him around back.
He doesn't like the deck.
Oh.
He doesn't like the oil that's on the deck.
Rufus is a dog, I assume. Okay.
How far do you plan on going with your boat? Where are you going to stop?
I have no stopping point. I am just going to head south. My plan is to do the ho and then do the ha.
Do the ho.
And then see a Cortez for a while and then down, escape south of Hurricane Zone, Central America somewhere, Costa Rica maybe. Probably coming back up to the States for a family reunion off and on. And then bumping down to Guatemala, across to the Galapagos and the Marquesas, and sail around Polynesia for a while.
And do you have crew for all of this?
No, so...
And you single-hand?
I've been single-handing this boat for 16 years. I don't know that I really want to single-hand on the big crossing, so I am looking for a crew. My daughter is a recent graduate of Oregon State University in marine biology.
Wow.
So she definitely wants to do the leg to or from the Galapagos.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty much a slam dunk. But I'm also interviewing for first mates, so...
Okay, so how would people get connected with you if they wanted to go on your trip?
Yeah, well, the best way to do that would be through my blog, I suppose. Without reading out the whole blog site address, I'm on sailblogs.com, and if you go on there and search for my boat name, which is a little problematic, it's Mabruka, M-A-B-R-O-U-K-A. It's Arabic for Blessed Lady. And you can just leave a comment on one of my blog entries, and I can get back to you. I hopefully will be able to provide some kind of a schedule ahead of time, knowing that cruising is kind of an iffy thing. So, yeah, I'll definitely be looking for people to come join me. I'm a little concerned about single-handing into atolls and stuff like that in the South Pacific. It gets a little hard to see the bommies from back in the cockpit.
Say what a bommie is.
A coral head that sticks up out of the bottom of a lagoon and tends to be problematic with keels sticking down from the top, from the bottom of boats.
Which is the right place for the keel to be.
Yes.
Being a naval architect, you'd know that.
Yes, that's right. Shiny side up, wet side down.
Pointy side forward.
Yeah, pointy end forward, that's right. So, yeah, boy, I'm really looking forward to this. I've been planning on retirement for years, and now I'm just kind of, I think, as I mentioned earlier, spending my children's inheritance, and as long as it lasts.
And are you leaving anything behind, like housing or cars, or, I mean, if you got a storage unit somewhere?
Well, part of this process has been divesting myself of land labor goods. I do have some odds and ends stashed at my brother's house in Port Orchard up in Washington, but not very much. Most of it I've divested to my three daughters. So, there's not much tying me ashore these days. I own the boat, don't own a car. Well, I do own a car, but it's for sale if anyone wants to buy a 1988 Buick Electra Estate Wagon. Yeah, it's all good. I'm really looking forward to this. It's an adventure. This is an interesting experience. I consider myself an experienced sailor, having been sailing. I learned to sail when I was, 16 or 17 years old. And there was a hiatus there for family and profession and stuff. But going offshore, real offshore stuff for the first time, is definitely a learning experience. Learning what the boat can do, learning what the people can do.
Trusting the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, trusting the boat.
To stay up.
Yeah. My crew has been, I'm the youngest at 62. Two of the guys, Jim and Robert, are 64. And Ed celebrated his 79th birthday offshore. So what's that make our average age? Something like 67 or something like that, you know? But there was a lot of experience there and a lot of personalities, too. So it was a good trip down.
Are you a writer? Are you going to write about this?
I'd like to think I'm a writer. You can judge that yourself if you go to my blog. I do have fun writing, and I have a digital camera that makes me look like I know what I'm doing. So there's some good pictures and stuff in there. I share the projects I do on the boat and kind of some miscellaneous thoughts along the way. One of the things I hope to do to make the blog more interesting, more than just a travel log that says we pulled in here and anchored and walked ashore and then we sailed to so-and-so, is...
we ate, drank,
partied on the beach, is to spend a little bit more time with people. keeping in mind that it is my blog and I get to write what I wrote.
Totally self-indulgent.
Yeah. Planning to post some bios of my crew, and then I'll do that along the way. The crew thing is kind of a practice, and like I say, I've got a couple of characters. So hopefully that'll make it interesting.
Okay, here's the question I have to ask. Have you ever been to Catalina?
Well, I think that was a loaded question because she knows. I basically grew up in Southern California, was in Sea Scouts in Huntington Beach and Newport Beach, and had friends with boats, although my family couldn't afford boats, but spent a lot of time in Avalon, so it'll be great. I'll definitely be listening to the station when I get down to Avalon. A lot of fun teenage memories at the Isthmus and Cherry Cove and all that stuff. So, yeah, I've been to Avalon before and looking forward to going back and checking out the old watering holes.
Is there anybody, like your daughters maybe, you want to give a shout out to say hey?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good idea. Yeah, I've got three daughters, Emily, Claire, and Lisa. Hi, girls. This is really cool to be on the radio. I hope you get a chance to listen to this. And we're having a good time, and I'm hoping you can join me along the way.
I don't understand how you move so gracefully. You brush past my face like a breeze. You ruffle up my hair like the wind in the willow trees. You weaken my legs like the sea. Ooh. When you grab my hand, I can't move, no, I can't think. You course through my veins like a flood in the streets. You're waking me up like a bolt of lightning. How can you love me so fierce and so sweet? Ooh, in the drought. Into the pretty eyes of a storm like you, it rattles me down to my bones. There ain't a mountain high or a bird with a better view. I feel like I'm stole my heart like a hurricane. stole my heart like a hurricane.
That was Hurricane from The Likes of Us. I was not able to stay very long in the land of the liberals, but drove back along the coast to avoid as much of that wretched hot Interstate 5 as possible. I had an unexpected surprise. It only took 45 minutes to get from Berkeley to Half Moon Bay. How could that be? Why, it is the new Tom Lantos Devil's Slide Tunnels. They are beautiful. The last time I passed that way was 2 days before Devil's Slide slid for the last time in 2007. Then that thruway was closed for 4 years while they built these lovely tunnels named after the late Congressman Tom Lantos, who worked very hard to get them funded. They are the second and third longest tunnels in California, and I must say were a delight to drive through. And I just drove through the tunnels under the Continental Divide in Colorado, among others, so I have seen a few. Well done! The fruit flies have invaded. Brought in with the bananas, I expect. Have you ever noticed that trying to clap a fruit fly between your hands is, well, fruitless? They sort of whoosh out and escape. Unless your hands are wet. Then something about the friction of the water or the humidity level, insert your own scientific explanation here, and the fruit fly squishes in the clap. Just thought you ought to know. Clearly, I spend too much time by myself. How about an isolation quote? When I was going on one day in the car about not having any close friends, using my favorite metaphor, the cage of glass between me and the rest of the world, she just laughed. "You like it," she said. "You say you're isolated, boyo, but you really think you're different." That's from John Fowles. I made solar oven bread on the deck of La Bonita on one of those sweltering and strangely humid late summer days we've been having lately. It feels like the East Coast with all the humidity in the air. It did not prevent the bread from rising and making two very respectable little loaves, best when shared. As a requirement of the falconry license, I had to attend a hunter safety course. You might think, why would that be necessary? It's not as if you're going to accidentally fire your bird in anyone's direction. Keep that beak pointed away from anything you are not hunting. Good to know what the other hunters out in the field are likely to do. At the end, the course turned into a bit of a survivalist how-to. Handy info for the boat as well. But the course was long and a little odd for a non-gun enthusiast. They showed 1970s films of the stupid stuff that can happen when you don't use your noggin. That reminded me of the blood on the asphalt type of videos they show in driver safety courses. After a whole day of that topic, I'm glad to say I passed, and now I can apply for a gun permit. Oh joy! I love serendipity. That's an accidental happy coincidence, such as another radio show I listen to also choosing isolation as their theme. Their emphasis was on people removing themselves from society, such as people with MCS, otherwise known as multiple chemical survivors, in Snowflake, Arizona. But isolation need not be so severe. It can be quietly muttering to itself behind closed doors, like any good whack-a-mole. Definition? A whack-a-mole is both that game where you bash fake moles with a mallet at the fair, and a liveaboard who does not surface from his cabin for days and days. That's isolated. I also listened to a TED Talk radio show driving back from the How to Kill Animals in 12 Easy Steps Huntress class about our relationship to animals. My beloved dog of 5 years was sleeping in the passenger seat, aka riding shotgun. He had been silent and mostly still between my feet for the entire class, which impressed the volunteer instructors no end. I love listening to TED Talks because they are bite-sized bits of ideas and intellect and very well presented. If you don't know what a TED Talk is, do yourself a favor and Google it now. Anyhow, today, Tuesday, 9-9, is the 5th anniversary of my fond association with Austin the Wild Dingo of Taiwan, mixed with a terrier. We have a little song to celebrate the occasion. Here's to you, Austin, the only internet date that ever worked for me. That was Austin singing a little love song with me, with accompaniment. Happy anniversary. And on an entirely different topic, here's another song. My new vehicle has a particular tempo to the blinker and windshield wipers. Remember that song? Windshield wipers slapping out a tempo, keeping perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. Well, the blinkers have their own song, too. And I figured out mine today. It's Pop Goes the Weasel. Here, listen. All around the mulberry bush, the monkey chased the weasel. The monkey stopped to pull up his socks. Goes the weasel. I got to thinking about the words to Pop Goes the Weasel and had to look it up because it was too weird. What is this Pop Goes the Weasel business? Wikipedia failed me. Sure, it's an old song. WikiWikiWiki says, the tune appears to have begun as dance music, to which words were later added. A music sheet acquired by the British Library in 1853 describes a dance, Pop Goes the Weasel, which was, according to the music sheet, an old English dance as performed at Her Majesty's and the Nobility's balls with the original music. It had a tune very similar to that used today, but only the words Pop Goes the Weasel. The dance became extremely popular and featured on stage as well as in dance halls. But nobody knows what Pop Goes the Weasel meant. It's probably rude somehow. If you want to try the sing-along theme to another front, go to the Weather Channel at the local weather at 5 after. Whatever music they happen to be playing, you can chant along. Groovin' with the Weather Channel, groovin' with the Weather Channel, groovin' with the Weather Channel. You don't believe me? Try it. It always works. Speaking of groovy tunes, there was a Tall Ship Festival in Dana Point this past weekend, and a guy had a squeeze box. I talked to him a little bit. This is Cynthia Shelton, a.k.a. the Live Aboard Seashell, with you here at Dana Point at the Tall Ship Festival. Well, it's actually the first day of the Tall Ship Festival on Friday, and we have here with us...
Bob Minty.
And Bob Minty is a...
reenactor for the Living History Group of San Juan Capistrano, representing Richard Henry Dana, Jr.
The man. And he has in his hand a squeeze box, otherwise known as a...
Anglo concertina, built in 1863.
And you're going to play what for us?
Rolling Home.
Okay. When would they play Rolling Home?
When they're headed to back to their home port. That's the only time they would play it.
Do you know any of those songs that help the sailors like pull up the sails and stuff like that? The work songs?
You wouldn't play that on a concertina because it'd be a very short.
Good point. All right. So this would be entertainment only.
Correct. This would be an entertainment. On Sundays would be their day off, so they could do entertaining. Like they would play John Kanaka and do a dance to that.
And what would that sound like?
I heard the old man say, John Kanaka Naka Tula A. Today's a holiday. John Kanaka Naka Tula A. Tula A. Oh, Tula A. John Kanaka Naka Tula A. Hey!
A rousing little jig would go along with that, I'm sure.
Many more verses.
And they probably make some up on the spot.
Correct.
To tease each other.
Correct.
Right. That's that'd be Austin, who's protesting the dogs going by. Do you have another little song you could put in there?
The songs were first religious songs, then became sea shanties, and after that they were considered overland cowboy songs. And in between, they do Civil War, just change the words.
So we basically only have 6 songs that we keep changing the words to.
Quite true. For example, Amazing Grace, that was a slave captain that wrote that verse. But now it's a religious song.
Well, we will try to find you tomorrow when you're giving your speeches on the hay bales and record you then. We'll come. I won't have the dog barking at people then. Thank you. But alas, the dog did bark every time they shot off a cannon, and we never found Mr. Minty, a.k.a. Mr. Dana, again. So let's go back to co-host Kelly. When we last heard from her, we had the Orkin man in the office, and he was just leaving.
Bye. Isn't he the cutest? I have this one liveaboard, and he's lived here forever.
Yeah?
Like, as long as I can remember.
John?
No, okay. I'm not going to use his name, but he'll know who he is if he listens to the show. But he's like a drinker, you know?
What a surprise.
Noon.
Okay.
But I was moving back to isolation. He seems a bit isolated.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, but as people disengage from the cycles of life, you know, they're not trying to get married, they're not trying to finish school, they're not trying to get a career, they're not trying to raise their kids, then it kind of slows down. And what do you do with yourself? And you don't know what to do with your time then.
Well, he's married.
You still don't know what to do with your time.
Do you think liveaboards as a group are just kind of lonely?
No.
No.
No, they're the same. They're the same cross section as live on land.
Just like the same.
Exactly the same. Only they choose to live on a boat.
But do you think that's because they want to be able to have a quick getaway if things go bad?
Some of them, but not all of them. Some of them like the rocking motion, which can be very comforting, and it can be very annoying. Some like the small space, and some like the lesser cost.
Hmm.
Some don't want to have to move every 6 months.
Yes, you do.
Well, I think it's an interesting group of people. I mean, I like them.
How many liveaboards do you have here?
Right here, right now, we have about 14.
That's it?
But I've ranged from all the way up to like 60 down to...
Isn't it supposed to be 10%?
It's supposed to be 3%.
Three here?
Yeah, three. It used to be 5, and then it went down to 3. And at one point, I think, long time ago, years ago, it was close to 10, because we had a lot.
Well, I have a theory that the more liveaboards you have, the better security you have, and the more of a community
have that
feeling.
Theory.
Well, because I've experienced it.
Yeah, I really like liveaboards. I think they're fun.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, I just wonder. I always do. I just wonder if they have like a thing.
What?
That's holding them back from wanting to commit to like, you know,
money.
A house. Do you think it's money?
Well, for me, it's money. I couldn't own my own home.
But could you rent one?
I've tried it. I rented for years. I was at the point where I loved my little house. I had just signed my lease for a third year. I had landscaped the whole outside. I had made little curtains. I was really happy. And my landlord had an affair, and his wife kicked him out. And then he kicked me out and reneged on the lease because he had to have somewhere place to live.
Was the affair with you?
No. Why do you go these bad places? Then I would have stayed in the house, right?
Maybe, unless you guys had a
problem.
But I think it's funny I ask the questions and you get really defensive.
My reputation far exceeds the reality, you know, or like the assumptions that people make about maybe because I'm a liveaboard.
People make assumptions all the time, but liveaboards are awful promiscuous.
You think?
Yes. They just slither from boat to boat.
Wait, who spends 4 nights out of the week at the bar?
4?
5?
5? You know what? I don't know. Like lots of people do. Where else are you going to go at night?
I go to bed as soon as the dark hits.
Serious? You're boring.
Exactly. Not slithering, but sleeping.
You should slither. You should go to the bar and then you should slither from boat to boat.
Do I have something to learn from you? Do you know about slithering?
I don't slither.
You're wearing green. It's a silky green.
I don't slither, but I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, a lot of times the liveaboards will congregate together, too.
In packs.
Yeah, and then they'll have, like, you know, time, special time.
What would be the name for a group? You know, it's not a peloton of bicycles. It's not a mob of crows or a murder of ravens. It's a what of liveaboards. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I know what you're saying. I'm just trying to think of the right term for it.
A gang.
Yeah.
A pod.
A pod. A gaggle.
They don't gaggle.
They don't gaggle. What do they do?
A squelch.
A squelch.
A squelch of liveaboards.
But that's not even like illiterary. What about like a launch of liveaboards?
Oh, you want it to be the same letter.
Yeah, alliteration. Because it sounds better.
A mob of crows is not alliteration.
Well, then they should say a carousel
of
crows.
A herd of cows. A carousel.
And they should say a whole bunch of cows. So.
Squelch, though, has sort of a squishy quality to it, and...
Is that what we're calling the liveaboards?
I don't know.
They do get together, though, and then they all get together and drink on their boat, so maybe they don't go to the clubs or the bars, necessarily, but they like to drink on board.
You're kind of lumping us all together in the same pot.
No, I know some ones that are more isolated than others. Some liveaboards just go to work, go to their boat, go to sleep. Do it all over
but
again.
Don't you think that just regular people do that?
Yeah, that's what I always wonder. Every night I go home and I'm like, what do normal people do? And it turns out they just put, like, they'll come home, they'll get a
shower, maybe
they'll feed an animal if they have one. And then I think
watch TV.
Do is they just sit down and they watch television.
Yep.
And maybe they eat some dinner.
But you're doing that in the yacht club. You're
Not
watching
really.
Your sports.
The game's on, but I'm more socializing. having connections with other humans.
Getting drinks paid for you.
Sometimes I buy my own. Last night I bought them all. I had one paid for, but otherwise I bought my own. No, I had two paid for. Otherwise I bought my own. And sometimes in the bar you like make connections. You might get, you know.
I got dinner.
Yeah, you got tea. So you should get out more.
You gave me this look when I told you like it was a bad thing.
No, I just thought it was funny.
traded a Doc Dorks for dinner. I thought that was a perfect trade. Commodore didn't seem to mind.
Because he is a Doc Dork.
And I think he's proud of it. And he'd like to become one again.
Yes. I wonder if he's going to be in the next book.
I don't know. Mm. He'd have to do something silly. Oh, so I should say, since I haven't told you guys this on the radio land, that I did go to the Yacht Club, and we did a Burgee swap with Berkeley's Burgee and Dana West Yacht Club's Burgee. And
I was there.
And Kelly was there. She was holding a seat at the bar for me.
I took a picture.
She took a picture of the whole event, and I got to eat dinner, and some guy grabbed my ponytail and whipped my head around and gave me a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah, he's one of the nasty ones. He kisses everybody.
Did anybody tell him it's not sanitary?
No. Nobody tells him that. We just try to turn our head a little bit.
So did you just, like, hand him Purell afterwards or just put a little Purell on your cheek?
You can't be rude because people are really friendly. So you have to say, oh, so good to see you, and then move on. But, yeah, I don't know.
Don't you think it would be kinder to tell him it's not socially acceptable to just kiss random women?
Well, he thought you were somebody else. It was an error.
That was true.
And he did apologize.
Well, no, he said, oh, you're not who I thought you were. That was creepy. And he left. He didn't really apologize.
Well, he's that kind of guy.
Okay.
But, you know, he's kind of not that funny.
It was humorous. Actually, that moment was humorous. He might get cartooned for that.
Mm.
Especially the grabbing the ponytail part. That was particularly aggressive.
He is aggressive. They're all aggressive, I noticed, though.
I feel bad for Jennifer or whoever it was that he thought I was.
Yeah, they want to shake you a little bit, rattle your chair, give you loves and kisses and, like,
pat your side
on the back. Yeah, like, you know, if your team scores, you might get whacked across the head.
That's a dope slap. That'd be for something else.
It's okay. So how was your dinner? You got some beefy Mandarin stuff.
It was good.
Mm-hmm.
It beats what I was going to eat, so...
I wonder what you're going to eat.
Probably peanut butter.
Gross.
What?
Well, you need to eat normal food.
That'd be nice.
So in a normal world, you just go home and you go to bed and that's it?
I might clean the boat. I might make dinner.
We should take Collins. What do people do at night?
Okay. If you're hearing this, that you're within the sound of our voices, we want to know, what do you do on a normal basis at night? On say, 5 nights out of the week, what's your norm? And you can write to seashell@kislavalon.com, and I will respond.
And it doesn't even have to be 5 nights. I think 3 is, like, appropriate, because most people by Thursday get a little antsy and they want to get out. I mean, if I could just keep myself in Monday through Wednesday, I'd be proud.
Proud?
Proud of myself. Look at me. Stayed home 3 nights.
Well, you don't have a home to stay in right now.
Go ahead and expose my homelessness to the world.
Oh, we could have sent you to the... Emmys.
I could have gone to the VMAs.
With Miley.
Yes. But I'm not homeless youth. I'm homeless adult.
You're pretty youthful.
True.
You're younger than me.
That's all the
booze
I drink.
That's shocking.
I read an article today that said the people that don't drink, that abstain from alcohol completely, die younger. There's a higher mortality rate among people that don't drink.
This advertisement brought to you by the Winery Associations of the Universe.
Yes. And if you drink too much, then you're the second... But not the worst. The ones that don't drink are the worst. The ones that drink overdrink are
the
second.
What did I drink?
You drank. You needed a nipple. You drank one drink, Moscow Mule. Oh, no. It was a Dark and Stormy.
Yes.
And it took you like 4 hours.
Do you think that was because I couldn't drink more or because I was using my laundry change to get the drink?
I think it's because you like just were kind of trying to be good.
I'm a cheap drunk.
See? That's good, though.
One drink. That's all I need.
Just one.
That's right.
See? You're no sailor. But that's good.
First I'm being accused of being a slithering liveaboard. And now I'm not even a sailor anymore.
I'm not going to get to come back on the show. Better start being nice.
And that's it. No sign out? No station ID? Kelly? Okay, we're going to have to do this all over again next week.
How about another couple of isolation quotes? A hermit is simply a person to whom civilization has failed to adjust itself. Will Cuppy. Love can isolate us from everything around us, but in its absence, we can be filled with the fear that something comparable exists. Carlos Fuentes. There are all these people here I don't know by sight or by name, and we pass alongside each other and don't have any connection, and they don't know me and I don't know them, and now I'm leaving town and there are all these people I will never know. Carson McCullers.
If your love were taken from me, every color would be black and white. It would be as flat as the world before Columbus. That's the day that I lose half my sight. If your life were taken from me, all the trees would freeze in this cold ground. It would be as cool as the world before Columbus sailed to the edge, and I'd be there looking down. Those men who lust for land, strange, and who love those trinkets of desire, oh, they never will have you, and they'll never know the gold or the copper in your hair. How could they weigh the worth of you so rare? If your love taken from me, every light that's bright would soon go dim. It would be as dark as the world before Columbus, down the waterfall, and I'd swim over the bridge. Those men who lust for land and for riches strange, and who love those trinkets of desire, oh, they never will have you, and they'll never know the gold or the copper in your hair. How could they weigh the worth of you so rare?
That was Suzanne Vega, The World Before Columbus. The World Before Columbus is a time when people were geographically isolated, for sure.
You're leading me down a one-way. You're leading me down a one-way street. Is it a game that you play, that you play? Here I've been thinking that you're so sweet. I do the giving and you take all of my loving, and you make promises that you don't keep. Well, baby, the price is too steep. You're leading me down a one-way.
picture, it's a picture. Maybe it's pretty, but it's not real. You better start looking elsewhere, or go find another heart you can steal. You got my wheels a-turning, setting my heart to burning. You never wanted a steady, you just wanted one that was ready. For you to lead down a one-way, a one-way. For you to lead down a one-way street. That you're so sweet. Maybe it won't be too long. You'll be singing the same song. You'll be piling the pavement, wondering which way that I went. You're leading me down a one-way, one-way. You're leading me down a one-way street. You're leading me down a one-way, a one-way. You're leading me down a one-way street.
Tim O'Brien, One Way Street. Before I bought a Ford Transit, I noticed only the Ford Transits driven in Avalon by FedEx and UPS. Now that I drive one, I see them everywhere. It is like a virus on the road. I see my own white van driving ahead and behind, and they're in every parking lot. There I go. There I go again. I'm going to have to get a car wrap, simply to distinguish my little white vanlet from the plethora of others out there. That was Gordon Webster live in Philadelphia. I can't believe that you're in love with me. And I think playing that means I want to go dancing. That was The Likes of Us, an LA band, which I found on Noise Trade, which if you Google it, you'll find a very cool site, which allows you to sample music for free, for tips, and for Facebook sharing of the bands. And that was Heat Wave, which we certainly have had a heat wave here lately. It's like Indian summer or something.
Since you left, there's been an echo in this house. Since you left, there's been an echo in this house. I say, why did I lose her? And all I hear is loser, loser.
Hi, this is Dominic Moreno from Berkeley Marina, and you are listening to KISL Avalon, 88.7 FM, Island Radio.